and a low of 79.
The following program is sponsored and paid for by Battleground News, LLC. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
It's time for Battleground News. To join the battle, call 904-831-0600. And now, here are Karen Morton and Jim Davis.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Battleground News. Florida is indeed the battleground state for the United States of America for the re-election of President Trump, and we are going to be here through the duration. We're going to make sure that not only are we supporting our president, but supporting his policies and supporting the people who are going to help him with his policies. That's what we're all about. Wanted to follow up with just a couple of things before I start introducing people who are with us today in the studio. We talked with people from the Republican Party of Florida last week. We had the national committee man, Peter Fehman, on, and he was explaining to us that there had been quite a few changes regarding voter registration, particularly in our two huge problem counties, and that's Broward County and Palm Beach County. They have replaced the old supervisors of election. They are gone. Bye-bye. I don't know why it took them that long to get rid of them. I mean, these people were in there for years, playing with the voter records and somehow managing to find new ballots and, yeah, all kinds of things. But they're gone now, and there have been new people appointed. And so far, in just those two counties, they have already removed over 30,000 ineligible voters from the rolls. And that is amazing. That's incredible. So great start. And then this week, I'm very pleased to see that Governor DeSantis has enrolled the state of Florida into a new, relatively new voter registration database that is designed to allow states to compare voters but among the states, among each other, so that the snowbirds, the people who are moving here from whether it's New York, New Jersey, Illinois, the people who come down south and stay here for the winter, a lot of them are registered in two locations. Some of them vote in two locations. We're going to try to eliminate that. Currently, I believe there's 29 states who participate. I don't know that there will ever be 50. Unless there's court cases where they're just absolutely required to do so. But even in California, where they will never agree to release their information to the other states, that'll be a last minute ditch there. But even there, thanks to Judicial Watch and Tom Fitton there, they have managed to remove over 1 million people who were registered as voters in California who were not eligible to vote. So things are changing. When you look at the fact that Donald Trump won the election in 2016, and you look at the fact that he was up against all the odds, it wasn't just the Democrat Party, it wasn't just the media, it wasn't just, all the rhetoric and all the nonsense and the Russiagate that they tried to bring up against him. He still won, even though there were literally millions of people on the rolls, millions of people who voted, who were ineligible voters. We know this to be the case. There's a lot of Democrats who will tell you, a lot of Democrat officials who will tell you, there's no ineligible voters. That's ridiculous. That doesn't happen. But we know for a fact that there are many counties across the nation where the number of people who actually cast a ballot is larger than the number of adult residents in the entire county. We know that for a fact. So we are getting a handle on it. The state of Florida is getting a handle on it. Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch is getting a handle on it. The states are stepping up, working together, and I think we're going to be seeing some massive, massive changes there. So very, very happy about that. I want to go ahead and talk about a few other things, but let me kind of introduce the people who are here with us today. My name's Karen Morton. I'm the host of Battleground News. Our co-host, Jim Davis, is not in the studio with us today. He's not feeling very well. So hopefully we'll see him next week. But here in the studio, we've got two people. First of all, let me introduce Ken Morrow. Welcome to Battleground.
Thanks, Karen. Appreciate being here.
Glad you're here. Ken has, he's got more irons in the fire than he knows what to do with. But he's very involved with some of the gun rights organizations that are active in Florida, in Jacksonville, and across the nation. You've belonged to a couple of relatively...
Well, one of the organizations is Article 6. We're a constitutional organization that believes in the right to keep and bear arms. But I'm also a lifetime member of the National Republic, or NRA, and beyond that, Gun Owners of America. Yeah. So, again, I like to represent them and represent them well. I think everybody has the right to keep and bear arms. And it's unfortunate that there are a few individuals that take advantage of that and misuse the opportunity they have. So we hopefully can resolve that situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And also in the studio is Wally Butler. And Wally, I had the privilege of meeting... I met Wally just a few days ago. And no, it was a privilege. We had a good conversation. He is... Well, you are a retired JSO officer, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, what did you do with JSO? What was your career path?
My career path, I started out working at the jail and then went to the police academy and went to patrol after that.
Okay.
And basically, I enjoyed a long career, 35-plus years, and the most of that, other than a small amount of time in the detective division, was spent in patrol out there on the beat with the people.
Okay.
That's where you get your best information.
I would imagine. I've got family members who are different, who are, have been parts of different police departments around the country. And I would imagine that's true. Being out there for that many years, did you start off walking a beat? Were they still doing that?
No, they weren't walking a beat. But in Jacksonville, things change with each sheriff. But a lot of times we did the community policing where we would get out and walk the beat, park the cars.
Right.
And, there was a lot of interaction that way.
That's good. That's good. I would think that if you get to know the people and the community gets to know you and gets to trust you, that they can come to you with issues and problems in the community that you may or may not be aware of right away, or may not be easy for you to follow up on information unless they do know you and trust you.
That is correct. Yes.
And so you've had quite a bit of experience with that. You've also obviously had a lot of experience with people who have been using firearms. Some legally, some not so much. And so you've got a lot of years with perspective.
Yeah, and I need to say this because of the way you phrased that question.
Okay.
Okay. The safest place that I felt in my career was when I was around law-abiding citizens that were armed.
Okay. Okay. And is that because, number one, you knew that they could maybe take care of an issue or at least try to protect themselves in the time that it took you to get there? Or was it also because you knew that they had your back if you needed it?
Well, I mean, you could represent it that way, but basically, my experience with the public is that people that are law-abiding and armed are very responsible people.
Yeah.
They're not the nutcases that the media tries to paint them.
Right, right.
They pay their taxes, they obey the law, they do all the stuff that's made our nation great.
Right.
But yet you watch the news media and they try to paint people that own a firearm as crazy people. And that's just pure propaganda.
It is indeed. It is indeed.
I've been on the beat for 35 years dealing with people.
Right.
I can tell you it's pure propaganda. And working in government, I'm just amazed at the stuff they put on TV and how false it is. Because I know.
Without being challenged.
Right.
Definitely.
Oh, they're not challenged because they can do it.
Well,
they own the media.
We're going to take a little break here. But when we come back, we're talking about the Second Amendment. We're going to be talking about self-defense. We're going to be talking about victims of crime and also red flag laws. So stay tuned. We've got a very special guest calling in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
You're listening to Battleground News with Karen Morton. Give us a call, 904-831-0600, if you want to get in the conversation.
The Trump Club here in North Florida is extremely important because there are so many people who may have never been involved in politics before, but we are always being contacted by new people saying, oh my gosh, I didn't even know there was a Trump Club. What do I do? How do I get involved? Where do you meet? Those kinds of things. The easiest way, if you're on Facebook, is to just go to the Duval Trump Club. We also are on Twitter at Duval Trump Club. We have a lot of events coming up. We have our regular meetings, but we also have a lot of activities that we're planning. With some things will be fun, but we're also making our presence very, very well known within the community. Sign waving in different parts of the county, voter registration drives, community events and festivals and things like that, just talking with people to see if they're registered, and if they're not or if they need to change their registration, we'll have the paperwork there to enable them to do that. There's something for everybody, and we would love to have you on board.
Join the Duval Trump Club today. Learn more on Facebook and Twitter at Duval Trump Club.
This is Karen Morton, and I'm here to tell you about the next exciting evening coming up at the Duval Trump Club. We are meeting on Saturday, September 21st. The speaker that's coming in, Colonel Steve Rogers.
President Donald Trump understands that we are embarking upon a great struggle. And that struggle, ladies and gentlemen, is for the heart, the soul, and the spirit of the United States of America.
Colonel Rogers is the president of America Winning Coalition, but he's also a member of the advisory board to Donald J. Trump 2020. It's going to be an exciting evening. Come and find out what's happening in the national campaign and what we can do to help out. Our previous events have sold out. You can register for free on Eventbrite. Just look up Steve Rogers in Jacksonville, and there will be a contribution of $20 at the door. This includes the presentation and dinner. Don't miss the next Duval County Trump Club meeting on Saturday, September 21 at the Salem Center, 7235 Bonneval Road in Jacksonville.
The five senses that most people possess are touch, taste, smell, sight, and hearing. As we age, our sense of touch, taste, and smell remain pretty much the same. However, our sight and our hearing do change. If you don't see well, you're going straight to the optometrist for an eye exam and some glasses. But what if you don't hear well? When's the last time you've had a hearing exam? Untreated hearing loss has been proven to accelerate dementia and Alzheimer's. At All About Hearing Aids, they get it. You're concerned about the cost and the appearance of hearing aids. Well, hear this. Hearing aid technology has drastically improved. They're almost invisible, they sound great, and some even have Bluetooth capability. But best of all About Hearing Aids sells their hearing aids for 50% less than the competition. Bring in a quote, and All About Hearing Aids will offer a comparable hearing aid for half that price. Don't wait. Call All About Hearing Aids today at 904-572-3079. That's 904-572-3079. Online at allabouthearingaids.net.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Great way to start this segment, isn't it?
Definitely.
I love it. This is Battleground News. I'm Karen Morton. I'm your host of the show. We are with Ken Morrow, and we are with Wally Butler here in the studio, but we have a special guest who's called in to be with us for the show. His name is Foster Coker, and Foster has... He and his wife, family, have lived through an incredibly horrendous situation with the home invasion. And the reason we want to have him talk with people today is because I want people to understand, if you haven't been through it, you don't have a clue what it's like. Listening to Foster and Pam, his wife, talk about this is really mind-boggling. And it really, you know, it can help give you an idea of what you could be up against. We talk about the Second Amendment all the time. People keep trying to tell us that, you know, it's, you know, well, you all you're going to do is shoot deer, then you don't need these special guns. You know, that's ridiculous. You know, as the old picture that makes its way around Facebook every once in a while says, the founders didn't give us the right to bear arms because they were afraid of a deer uprising. That's not what it's for. And it's to protect ourselves. It's protect ourselves whether there is a home invasion, or protect ourselves whether we're being attacked in some other location, to protect ourselves against
other invaders or to protect ourselves even against our own government that is invading, so taking action against us. So all of those things are important, but self-defense is a major, major issue in today's world. And I think Wally has said this clearly. The safest place to be is around people who are law-abiding, license-carrying gun owners.
Well, here's the other thing that's important. You say the Second Amendment, and today everybody is about human rights.
Man.
Okay? Really, all the Second Amendment is, it's the basic human right of self-defense. And if you don't have that, you won't be alive to figure out which restroom you want to use or figure out if you want to use this pronoun for
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
Or which other 10 amendments you're going to support.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So with that, Foster, welcome to Battleground News. Thank you so much for calling in this afternoon.
Thank you for inviting me to be a part of the show.
Well, we appreciate your being here. Foster, can you take some time and tell us what happened to you and your family? Kind of take us through the details and what happened, what your reactions were. Just lead us through it.
Well, it was 5 years ago this past Thursday.
Wow.
On a Friday morning, 6:20 in the morning, our back door was kicked in by a masked intruder. There were two of them. I was asleep. My wife, Pam, was getting dressed in the dining room so as not to wake me. Our grandson, who had slept over with us that night, was sleeping in his room. She screamed. I ran to her defense. I found her on the living room floor where she had been smashed down to the floor, hardwood floor. She suffered very extensive, serious injuries to both legs and feet. I went to her defense. I tried to push this masked character away from her. He and I struggled. He was beating me repeatedly in the head, bashing me in the skull with what I thought at the time was a pipe or a club of some kind. The wounds were drawing blood. Blood was pouring down into my eyes. I was afraid that he was going to hit me hard enough to knock me out, and then that would leave no one there to defend my wife and my grandson. So I told my wife, you have to go get my gun. And with what little strength I had left, I threw him away from me. I picked him up and flung him across the room. And she returned and put the gun in my hand. Before he could get up, I started firing.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, he started firing back. I'd realized at that instant that what he had been beating me with all along was his own pistol, or
wow.
You know, the stolen pistol he had with him, not his legally owned pistol, of course.
Of course not. Yeah.
I emptied my gun. I knew I'd hit him because he started screaming, but he was still fighting, and I still saw his gun pointing at me. So I leapt on him and tried to hold him down and keep a hold of his gun arm so that he couldn't get off any more rounds. I told Pam, you have to go get another gun. Cause, you know, I was already hurt at this point. I felt like I was about to lose consciousness. I didn't want to leave them, my wife and my grandson, with no one between him and them.
Mm-hmm.
He and I continued to fight. We rolled across the living room floor. He got my finger in his mouth somehow and crushed it between his teeth, bit me several times on the arm and side. I was trying to hit his head against the floor. I saw her coming back with the gun, with her another pistol.
Mm-hmm.
I told her, you're going to have to shoot him, honey. And he and I are still struggling the whole time. He's got his pistol in his hand, and I'm holding him by the arm, trying not to let it go off. And she says, I'll hit you. And I says, well, honey, I can't let him go. You have to shoot him. So I pushed him as far away from me as I could without letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And she opened fire. And I felt her shots hitting him. I felt his body lurching with the impact. And he started fighting a little less hard. So
jeez.
I dropped him. And he fell to the floor. But he was still moving even then after being shot several times. He was still moving. He still had his pistol in his hand. It looked like he was trying to lift it. So I took the gun from her and fired one more shot, and he died. And
wow.
At that point, I'm pouring blood all over the living room, just like standing under a shower, that much blood coming down my face. We didn't know it at the time because of the adrenaline, but she's got, as I said, crippling injuries to both legs. His accomplice at the back door, who was supposed to come in and do whatever
mm-hmm.
after we were subdued, he ran away and left his friend to die. Didn't stand up for him. Didn't, you know,
mm-hmm.
no honor among thieves.
Right.
Nothing truer.
Wow. Wow. So, all right. So all of this happened at 6:00 in the morning. You had no warning at all. it just all of a sudden they kicked in the door and immediately started this attack.
Yep, no warning at all. And, you know, the back door, we had a big, heavy back door, but it held, but the frame broke away.
Wow.
So since then, you know, we've taken the precautions of reinforcing our door frames so that the doors can't be kicked in anymore.
There's a good message to everyone out there. All right, so you used two different weapons and fired multiple rounds into this intruder, and he was still moving till you took that final shot.
Yeah, absolutely. He never dropped the gun, not even after I shot him the last time. I had to pry it out of his hand.
Wow. So if for these people out there going, oh, you don't need more than five rounds, that's obviously not the case. It was not the case. Just to repel one intruder, God forbid, his partner would have jumped in at any time.
Right. I mean, one was plenty. We didn't want two. And as it later turned out, in talking with the state's attorney's office and reviewing the coroner's records and stuff, I had hit him in the heart with one of the first couple of shots. In the
heart.
Oh, my
gosh.
Fatal shot. But the coroner said that that's a fatal shot that you bleed out from in 3 to 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 3 to 5 minutes, you don't have time in a fight. You don't have 3 to 5 minutes to wait and see who's going to do what.
Yeah, so, right. Okay, we'll bleed out now. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like we could call timeout. We're going to go sit over here while you die. It wasn't like that. We were fighting for our lives the entire time, start to finish.
Was there indication? I mean, was this guy under drugs? Is that why he was so able? Was he high on a bunch of stuff? Is that why he had so much?
The screen came back and showed that he was on certain substances, but I mean, part of it was adrenaline, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was just being an evil, wicked person out to do evil, wicked things,
right.
and being highly motivated to do them.
Why did they even come to your house? What on earth? Why you?
Well, we later found out after the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office had rounded up the rest of the gang, the getaway driver, the guy at the back door, and another guy.
Mm-hmm.
They had driven by our house multiple times to go down the street to visit this girl, and twice a week, all our friends from church and our longtime friends would come over, and we would have our game nights, and they would see our yard full of cars twice a week, and if I drove by your house, I'd say, oh, look, she's got friends over. It's somebody's birthday. It's some, you know, it's prayer meeting. It's something. But to their criminal brains, when they see a bunch of cars at one house, it can only be one thing, some kind of criminal activity that they can get in on and steal. They thought we were doing drugs. They thought we were having gambling or poker or something at our house.
Because there were lots of cars there.
Right.
Wow. So big families, any large family where they've got teenagers and older children, or if you've got more than two cars in the driveway, they're automatically, or the people can assume that you are into
drugs.
Why
don't we pass a law that says you can only have one car in the driveway? That would
there
stop
you go.
That. I mean, that's the logic we're up against.
Exactly.
Here.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh my gosh. So all right. So this guy, you finally did get him. Before did you lose consciousness after all that? Because you did get shot, right?
Oh, yeah, his one shot that he got off hit me in the head, but it just kind of was a glancing, grazing wound off the side of my head. But the bullet continued past me and went through the wall behind me into my grandson's bedroom.
Oh, my gosh.
Where it exploded the lamp off his nightstand right next to the bed he's laying in.
Wow. Wow.
But no, I never lost consciousness. I hung in there as best I could. I was losing a lot of blood.
This is Officer Wally. Let me ask you just one basic question. Why are you even alive today?
Yeah.
So I can do this.
No. Why are you alive? What would happen if you were not armed?
I'm alive because I had guns.
Exactly.
That's the point.
Exactly.
That's the point I made initially.
Because beating him back, you know, hitting and you weren't getting anywhere that way.
No, if the fight had gone much further against him, I'm sure he would have just shot me. I'm sure he was trying to be quiet and not shoot me to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if it came to either taking a beating or shooting me and running away, I'm sure he would have shot me eventually.
Wow. Okay, folks, Foster, hold on for us because we're on a hard break here. But we're going to talk more with Foster. We're going to talk more with Wally and with Ken here in the studio. But yes, folks, this happened right here in Jacksonville. This is not an unusual occurrence for Jacksonville, unfortunately. And, I wanted people to hear what's going on and what can potentially happen. So we will be back, 904 904- 831-0600 because you can.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Hurricane Dorian is still on the move after unleashing massive flooding across the Bahamas today. Pummeling the islands with so much wind and water, authorities even urge people to find flotation devices, if that's what it took to save their lives, even use hammers to break out of their attics if they were trapped by the high water. The fearsome Category 4 storm slowed almost to a standstill as it shredded roofs and hurled cars around. It even forced rescue crews to take shelter until the onslaught passed. Now, with winds of about 145 miles an hour, it continues to pose a clear and present danger to Florida and Georgia. Authorities say the gunman in a West Texas shooting rampage had been fired from his job and called both police and the FBI before carrying out that deadly shooting over the weekend. The Odessa police chief says the fired man and his company called 911 after the incident, but that he was gone by the time police showed up. This is SRN News.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good afternoon, I'm Nikki Whaley. Hurricane Dorian has just been downgraded to a Category 4 hurricane. Governor DeSantis, in an update, says the storm's currently sitting about 100 miles to the east of West Palm Beach and is moving at the speed of 1 mile per hour. DeSantis says plans are in the works to have power restoration efforts moving swiftly once the storm passes.
Florida Power and Light has most of these counties in terms of the power, and they've assembled approximately 17,000 personnel that are pre-staged and ready to respond. And as soon as the first bands of severe weather hit, they will come in after that to restore power around the clock.
Now, it's not clear the exact path the storm is expected to take at this time, but DeSantis says they should know soon. He's asking Floridians to remain vigilant and, if asked to evacuate, heed the call. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
This is a Hurricane Dorian news alert. As of the 5 p.m. advisory from the National Hurricane Center, maximum sustained winds are 145 miles per hour. Movement is stopped. The storm is stationary over Grand Bahama Island. Hurricane warning in effect for Jupiter Inlet to Punta Vedra Beach. A hurricane watch is in effect from north of Deerfield Beach to Jupiter Inlet and north of Punta Vedra Beach to South Santee River. Tropical storm warning in effect for north of Deerfield Beach to Jupiter Inlet, and a tropical storm watch is in effect for north of Golden Beach to Deerfield Beach. Lieutenant Governor Jeanette Nunez is assuring residents that assets have been pre-positioned to move in quickly once the storm passes.
What you've seen is a level of coordination unparalleled here in Florida. We have everything from generators to urban search and rescue teams, hazmat teams, everything that we could possibly need to deal with the aftermath of a storm of this category.
Forecasters say the monstrous storm will largely remain offshore from the Florida coast. With an FNN News Alert, I'm Al Lewis.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Hurricane Dorian has now been downgraded from a Category 5 to a Category 4 storm. Tropical storm force winds could begin to arrive in our area tomorrow, with the eye of the storm off the coast of Jacksonville sometime Wednesday as a Category 3. There's a 1 in 5 chance of showers today and a high of 89. Tonight, a 50-50 chance of thunderstorms and a low of 79.
It's faith, family, and football with the Jacksonville Jaguars Thursday night, September 19th. NFL Hall of Famer and NASCAR owner Joe Gibbs brings his Game Plan for Life ministry with a special event before the game that night. Please make your plans to come be inspired at Daly's Place. Then go enjoy the game. Special ticket prices start at $35 to go to the Game Plan for Life event and the game. Get details at WBOB.com.
The idea that you and I have within ourselves the God-given right and the ability to determine our own destiny. But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
I absolutely love that quote from Ronald Reagan.
Amen. Hey, I got to ask him a question. You still with us, brother?
I am. Yes, sir.
Listen, let me ask you something. Why didn't you protect yourself by putting up a sign on your front door that said gun-free zone? I mean, surely that would have stopped that perpetrator.
There we go. Exactly true. That's what's so mind-boggling to people. I mean, those of us who I think understand the purpose of the Second Amendment and the importance of having a way to protect yourself when these kinds of things happen, just you hear this dribble from the other side, and you think they can't be serious. They can't truly be serious.
This is a prime example. When your case went into the Uniform Crime Report, it was gun violence, yet you saved your life and you saved your wife's life, mm-hmm. but yet that's reported as a negative in the statistics, and they take these statistics and fan them in front of people when a lot of those homicides are justifiable homicides in that someone was protecting themselves from a murder, mm-hmm. a woman was protecting herself from a rape, mm-hmm. all of that. Why did they, you know, this just doesn't make any sense the way they skew and propagandize these statistics.
Right, right.
It depends on who's paying for the statistics.
Well, that's very much true. That's very much true.
Center for Disease Control is basically the library for the left as far as gun control is concerned. Mm-hmm. There have been a number of reports out there that are just so off the wall, it's ridiculous. But there is actually a report that came out when Obama was president that the CDC found out that defensive gun use was a benefit.
Gee, what a surprise. Didn't John Lott, hasn't John Lott been saying that for like the last 40 years?
Definitely.
You know, truly. The statistics have always been there.
The other thing, the CDC recently changed reporting statistics for anyone who goes into the hospital and dies of an infection. They were reporting that as a certain ailment that they were trying to skew the statistics for to increase the sale of a certain medication, which had nothing to do with it. Because
happens all the time.
I think it was all the pneumonia deaths got reported as something else. I was just shocked to read that because I was suspicious of what I saw in the media. And I started looking it up. And, okay, this is where they get that number because the CDC skewed the statistics again.
Right. Right. It is amazing to me, but it happens over and over and over again. And even after they get caught on one issue. They go, whoops, sorry about that. And then they just keep on doing it. Nothing ever seems to stop the trend. I can't read that. I don't have my glasses.
Okay,
holding up this picture.
I'm holding up a picture of our former First Lady, the Honorable Michelle Obama.
Yes, sir.
And she is holding up a sign that says, "Bring back our girls." Does anybody remember that incident? 273 girls were taken from their village.
Right.
And they were forced into sex slavery.
Right.
Why were they taken? Because that country had the rules for gun control that the left is trying to push on us today.
Exactly. They had no way of fighting back. And here in this country, the Obama's response to that, instead of going over with armed personnel to help get those people back and help teach people how to protect themselves, their solution was to hold up a sign with a hashtag on it.
Yeah, hashtag bring back our girls.
Bring back our girls.
Well, it was a no-gun zone.
Yes, indeed. It was indeed a no-gun zone. It should have been oh so safe. All right, everybody, you're listening to Battleground News on WBOB. I'm Karen Morton, your host. And we have Wally Butler and Ken Morrow in the studio with us. Also on the phone, holding on with us is on our guest line, is Foster Coker. And Foster has been telling all of us his experience from 5 years ago when there was a home invasion and massive injuries to himself and his wife. And I do want to tell our listeners, if you want to ask questions of Foster, if you want to
add a story of your own. If you've got comments to make, please give us a call. The number is 904-831-0600. That's 831-0600. And we'll get you on the line. And actually, George, I do have a call. So Foster, hold on for me for a second. George is on the line. You have a question or a comment about gun control?
Yeah. Yes. I lived in 12 foreign countries that had gun control, and it was the worst situation we had to go through, and because you could not defend yourself. And most of these gun laws really don't get anything done. And I wanted to bring up something else from a retired FBI profiler. She said there are two mental characteristics of most of the shooters, and you can see it intensely in the serial killers, but less and less at little lower levels, but significant in even people who rob houses. And those two things are lack of empathy for human life, and kind of a intense schizophrenia right down to a partial schizophrenia, which I consider the whole Democrat Party.
It certainly looks that way, doesn't it?
They don't see the world the way it really is, and they go off on these crusades and just go nuts. And we've had four terrorist incidents overseas, one in Colombia, one in Egypt, and two in Saudi Arabia. Right. And every single one of the people who perpetrated these things fit these two items, this profile. And we really need to get people educated, number one. And number two, as far as I'm concerned, there are a number of us who have an FDA-approved piece of equipment, which will detect those two things as well as other related things in kids. And we need to go ahead and put those in the schools. But the record should not go to the school. It should go to the psychologist, who go to the kid's actual doctor, and then they work on them. And we would greatly reduce crime. It's not the guns. It's what is between people's ears.
Yeah, very, very good point, George, and thank you very much for the call. Before you hang up, I'm interested. What you said you lived in 12 different countries that had full gun control. Were you military or?
No, I worked in the heavy industry area on artificial intelligence computers.
And, okay.
And it, basically, it was most of it was in the oil industry and petrochemicals.
Okay,
and,
gotcha.
And we had, you know, we enjoyed being in those countries until, you know, the crazy showed up.
Yes, okay. Exactly. You know, you can enjoy being anywhere until the crazies show up, and then if you are sitting in a situation where you're basically a sitting duck because you have no way to fight back. It can obviously be a very dangerous situation. George, thank you very much for the call. Ken, I'm going to get to you in just a second here, but I wanted to get to Foster. Foster, you went through this ordeal. Your wife was seriously injured. You were seriously injured. Your grandson must have been scared out of his mind. I can't even imagine what it did to him. Foster,
well,
are you there?
Yeah, that's... That's pretty much sums it up. We're both hurt pretty bad physically, but all three of us were hurt pretty bad on the inside, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I understand that you got a lot of help from an organization here in Duval County or in Northeast Florida that works with victims of crimes and Justice Coalition.
Yeah, we would have been lost without their help. You know, when something like that happens to you, you don't know the legal ins and outs of it. You don't know how to file for victims' compensation. You don't know how to represent yourself in court. You don't know how to check schedules to find out when the people who tried to kill you are getting court appearances. That's all something they handled for us. Their help was, I mean, we would have been lost without them. There's no other way to put it.
It's very, very true. I hear this from people over and over and over again. You don't expect this kind of to be a victim of violence in the first place, and then once you are, you're just confronted with a myriad of different processes that you're supposed to go through, and nobody, you just don't have a clue where to turn. And thank God for Justice Coalition, who's very, very active in Duval County and in Northeast Florida. They do a great job. It's headed up right now by Blake
Bracewell.
Bracewell, thank you. It just went out of my head, going in my head and out of my head. He and his team, they do an incredible job, and we're certainly glad that you've made it through here. I wanted to, Ken, I know I've got you on the line. You had a question about statistics. We're down to about a minute and a half. What's your question, Ken?
Florida has the Castle Doctrine, I think it's called, with your protection of yourself and your property and all that. I was wondering about that in comparison to other states, specifically like Massachusetts, and how the statistics rate up against the crime rate in one of them states like Mass versus the crime rate in Florida and other states that might have that kind of gun control versus Florida.
Okay, we might be able to cover some of that when we get back from this break. We've got a lot of statistics sitting here on the table in front of us, so let me see if we can get the answer to that when we come back. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Give us a call if you've got questions.
The Trump Club here in North Florida is extremely important because there are so many people who may have never been involved in politics before, but we are always being contacted by new people saying, oh my gosh, I didn't even know there was a Trump Club. What do I do? How do I get involved? Where do you meet? Those kinds of things. The easiest way, if you're on Facebook, is to just go to the Duval Trump Club. We also are on Twitter at Duval Trump Club. We have a lot of events coming up. We have our regular meetings, but we also have a lot of activities that we're planning. Well, some things will be fun, but we're also making our presence very, very well known within the community. Sign waving in different parts of the county, voter registration drives, community events and festivals and things like that, just talking with people to see if they're registered, and if they're not or if they need to change their registration, we'll have the paperwork there to enable them to do that. There's something for everybody, and we would love to have you on board.
Join the Duval Trump Club today. Learn more on Facebook and Twitter at Duval Trump Club.
This is Karen Morton, and I'm here to tell you about the next exciting evening coming up at the Duval Trump Club. We are meeting on Saturday, September 21st. The speaker that's coming in, Colonel Steve Rogers.
President Donald Trump understands that we are embarking upon a great struggle. And that struggle, ladies and gentlemen, is for the heart, the soul, and the spirit of the United States of America.
Colonel Rogers is the president of America Winning Coalition, but he's also a member of the advisory board to Donald J. Trump 2020. It's going to be an exciting evening. Come and find out what's happening in the national campaign and what we can do to help out. Our previous events have sold out. You can register for free on Eventbrite. Just look up Steve Rogers in Jacksonville, and there will be a contribution of $20 at the door. This includes the presentation and dinner. Don't miss the next Duval County Trump Club meeting on Saturday, September 21 at the Salem Center, 7235 Bonneval Road in Jacksonville.
Tax problems can be extremely stressful and cause financial devastation. The tax attorneys at J. David Tax Law are right here in Jacksonville to be your personal advocate and resolve your IRS or state sales tax issues. J. David Tax Law focuses on your needs and case outcomes. Don't be fooled by out-of-town tax companies that focus only on signing you up without even working with an attorney. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. If you have federal or state sales tax debt, payroll taxes, bank levies, wage garnishments, tax liens, or unfiled returns, have a sit-down with J. David Tax Law and get the help you need. Never trust your tax situation to anyone you can't walk in and look in the eye. Call J. David Tax Law for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or a phone call away.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Yes, indeedy. That's for sure. All right, we've got, this is Battleground News. I'm Karen Morton, your host. We're talking with Ken Morrow, Wally Butler, and we're talking with Foster Coker online. Foster, you've given all of us, and Ken, let me back up just a second. Ken, we were looking for statistics specifically for Massachusetts versus Florida. We don't necessarily have those. However, we are working on getting a guest in who is a police chief.
Police officer from Massachusetts,
and he should be able to provide us with all kinds of very, very interesting details about exactly what you're asking. So, Foster, you've gone through this horrific experience. It's been 5 years. You and have been out basically trying to educate people and let them know what can happen to them, what the consequences are. How are you and Pam doing now?
We're doing very well. We're very happy to have had the support we had from the Justice Coalition and, of course, our family, friends, and church. But, people if I could reinforce one thing, it's don't think it won't happen. Don't think it can happen. Now, I was recently approached by Robert Waters to tell his story as part of his new book, mm-hmm. Guns and Self-Defense. And this is 23 different self-defense gun stories from people all over the world, young people, old people, white people, black people. It's not an age thing. It's not a race thing. It can happen to anybody, anywhere, your own home, out in public. You have to be prepared.
Right.
You have to be prepared to protect yourself and your loved ones.
And that's the perfect message. It really, truly is. What? Say something. You're giving me signals. I have no idea what that means. Ken is trying to tell me something.
We're talking about some self-defense statistics. I've got the information right here.
Okay.
A Houston man fired several rounds while fighting off 5 home invaders this year using an AK-47, which is his primary method of self-defense. Also, a Florida man utilized his AR-15 to fire 30 rounds while fighting off 7 intruders last year. Beyond that, a petite Ireland woman chased 3 burglars out of her home simply by loading a round into the chamber of her AR-15. Guns for self-defense do work.
Of course they work.
CBS 47, it's been within the last year, had a news story on, and it was security video from a woman's home.
Mm-hmm.
And she had 3 masked intruders that kicked down the door in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And you can tell the security video is night vision. And the newscaster says, and she came out with her gun firing. Look at her go. And it wasn't, you know, why does somebody need more than 1 or 2 rounds?
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
That's why.
According to CBS 47, she killed one of the intruders. And the other 2 ran through a window to get away. And in the video, they're all armed with handguns in their hands and mask on.
There you go. And again, in this day and age, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you drive. It doesn't matter where you live. I don't care what part of town you're in. I don't care if you're in a gated community. I don't care if you're over on the west side and, you know, you've got the some projects across the street from you. There's violence everywhere. There are crazy people everywhere.
You know, here's the interesting thing. One of the leftist, and, you know, everybody's got their own politics, concerning abortion, she put up a meme that said, and a quote, "If you don't have a uterus, you have no business telling me about mine."
Yeah, I've seen that.
Well,
I
mean, if you under yeah. that logic, if you don't have a gun, you don't have any business telling a gun owner what to do.
Very, very, very good point. It really gets to the point where we try to reason with people. We you know, and yet sometimes it's just a matter of they don't get it until it happens to them. Well, if it happens to you, it's kind of too late.
Well,
kind of too late.
Other thing to keep in mind too: everybody's pushing for new gun laws. One thing to keep in mind: there are 22,000 plus gun laws on file in the United States. The push now is for universal background checks.
Well,
give an example.
And universal red flag.
Universal background checks do not work. I'll give an example why. If anybody remembers the shooting at the Landing, that individual came from Maryland.
Right.
Had purchased 2 guns in Maryland legally.
Right.
Traveled to Jacksonville, killed mm-hmm. 2 people plus himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, universal background checks did not include information that happened prior to him getting to the age of consent, which is 18.
Yeah.
He had some mental problems that were never put into the system. No matter what type of system you use, if you don't put the detail in, you're not going to get the proper detail out.
And that's exactly the situation with Parkland. There were so many bells ringing. There were so many people who noticed things, who reported things. There was ever any follow-up, not by the schools, not by the psychologists, not by the FBI, not by this local police department. Nobody did anything. Yep, people noticed, but nobody followed up. And that doesn't mean that doesn't somehow negate the need for people to be able to protect themselves and protect those kids in those schools. There was a man, one of the teachers, who died. And I remember Aaron Bean using this as an example during the last session of in Tallahassee, talking about a particular issue. And he was saying that this man who died trying to protect the teenagers that were in his classroom died with a ruler in his hand. That's all he had to try and repel
this nutcase with a gun.
Because it was a gun-free zone.
Because it was a gun-free zone. Right. He had a wooden ruler. That was it. That's
how many
nonsense.
Mass shootings have you seen at a gun show?
Exactly. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, that would be a quick end to you. We're talking about this, folks, because we're going to be talking about different parts of the Second Amendment issues for the next few months. We have a lot of stirrings in Washington, D.C. after Dayton and
El Paso.
Thank you. Never let a good crisis go to waste, and they're jumping on it like crazy.
Well, that's the leaders.
Exactly, that's
people,
the leaders.
The people that are out there on this gun control issue right. are actually good, caring people.
Yeah.
But the problem is they're feeling rather than thinking.
Well, and
they
feel
right. like this will make them safer, where the unintended consequences is it will actually make them less safe.
Well, and totally agree, except that some of the leaders are like that. Some of the leaders feel it's an emotional response, and oh my gosh, how can we do this? But the true, real leaders in the Democrat Party and the Socialist Party and the Communist Party, they know exactly what they're doing. It
oh,
has
yeah,
nothing to do with
I'm
emotion.
Talking about the rank and
the
file.
The rank and file,
that's being
rank and file
used
are buying
and propagandized.
This nonsense. Exactly.
And they don't understand the unintended consequences. It's like getting a drug that you see advertised on
right.
TV without listening to side effects are. Gangrene of the paramecium. Your listeners are going to be looking up what that is
what,
right now.
Huh? What?
But
yeah.
that's an actual right. side effect of a drug that's on TV every day.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's check these side effects, unintended consequences.
Well, and these are major issues because thanks to the state of Florida who came up with, and I might say, a lot of members of the Republican leadership who came up with this red flag law for the state of Florida, and it has allowed various states across the nation to follow suit. If you really want to thank somebody for starting this red flag nonsense, thank a Republican in Tallahassee. Not all of them. I'm very proud to say that four state representatives from this area, Jason Fisher, Clay Yarborough, certainly Cord Byrd, definitely Cord Byrd, and Wyman Duggan. All four are state reps from this area, from Jacksonville and surrounding counties, and they voted against the red flag bill. But there weren't many who did. And I've got to say, since there's all this talk about red flag in Washington, D.C., there are memos out from Republican leadership in Tallahassee, the president of the Senate, President Galvano, and the Speaker of the House, Oliva. Both of them are telling their people, hey, you know, we really need to take a good look. Let's see what we can do for gun control this year. Excuse me? You're the ones that tipped the bucket in the first place.
But here's the irony of that situation, too. You had the situation happen in El Paso. Democratic commissioners now in one county declared Texas County a Second Amendment sanctuary because they're concerned that people who have the legal right to bear arms will lose that right and therefore that make their county more apt to crime.
Right.
So again.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, folks, we are going to be talking about these issues over and over and over and over again, at least for the next 2 years. We're going to see an onslaught. We've got people trying to pass a gun control, even on ballot initiatives. It's going to be a busy 2 years, and we are not going to let this issue go. Foster Coker, thank you so very much for telling your story. Thank you for being online with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Ken Morrow, Wally Butler.
When it comes to safety, you can accomplish more with a kind word and a gun than a kind word alone.
There you go. Wise words. And we also just want to take a moment and our thoughts and prayers to the two firemen who have not been found, who have been missing for the last week. And we send our love and our best wishes to their families. Please stay tuned. We'll be back on Monday, 5 o'clock on WBOB. Do not miss this show.